It is 6 minutes after 12, and this is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF. This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, June 7th, 2019. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead on our show, we get a small preview of a mountain biking trail at Hobbs State Park in Rogers. We'll talk with Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics about the week's news, and we'll spend some time in the Firman Garner Performance Studio with Dawson Hollow and hear them play music, too. All of that and more just ahead. After today's Ozarks, it's Science Friday on 91.3. Today, take a trip to Antarctica with scientists studying the frigid rivers there. What can the rivers tell us about climate change on the continent? Plus, how outdated gender stereotypes about males and females lead to flawed experiments and bad science. Science Friday, today from 1 to 3 on 91.3. Pretty good combination at Arvest Ballpark tonight if the weather cooperates. Baseball, fireworks, and superheroes. The Naturals host the Springfield Cardinals for the baseball. The fireworks are a regular Friday night happening after a game. And fans are encouraged to dress as their favorite superhero. And some costume types will be on hand as well. Captain America, Wonder Woman, and Spider-Man included. Finally, the first 500 youngsters through the gates tonight get a special Naturals cape, courtesy of Arkansas Children's Hospital. First pitch tonight at 7:05, but I bet the capes are handed out long before that. This is Ozarks at Large. The new Northwest Arkansas Regional Robotics Training Center is a community-based training center located on the downtown Fayetteville Square. Officials, who say it is the only such training center in the state, unveiled the project to the public yesterday. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda attended the press conference, and she brings us this report.
The new training center is a partnership between the Fayetteville Chamber of Commerce and Northwest Arkansas Community College. Chamber President and CEO Steve Clark says this is a game changer for the state, particularly for Northwest Arkansas.
This is a vision of the community, not any one person. It's the vision of the community, and we're very proud of that vision. And Fayetteville likes to tell people that we like being first, and we're first at a lot of things. Well, we are absolutely first at this. We're absolutely first at providing robotics training on Main Street for people every day who want to get these skills to participate in the changing world of the 21st century.
Craig Shy, chairman of the Chamber's Board of Directors, says the Chamber worked with the Northwest Arkansas Economic Development District to receive a $336,000 federal economic development grant to purchase FANUC robots for the center.
Northwest Arkansas Community College offers the robotics training course on their website as a non-credit instruction, and then the regional training center will train individuals on these FANUC machines. They're commercial robots. It's a 32-hour training course over 1 week, and the FANUC robot is the most widely used robot for commercial applications here in the United States. We can train up to 12 students per week. And upon completion, as Steve said earlier, the student will become FANUC certified robotics technician.
The Fayetteville Chamber of Commerce is no stranger to providing new skills to local residents. In August 2016, the Chamber opened the Northwest Arkansas Fab Lab, a makerspace equipped with 3D printers and laser cutters that is open to the public. Around the same time, NWAC agreed to work with the Chamber on creating the Northwest Arkansas Regional Robotics Training Center. Tim Cornelius, Vice President of Career Workforce Education at NWAC, says to the best of his knowledge, this is the only chamber of commerce in the U.S. with a fab lab and the only one with a robotics training center that can award certificates through a community college. He describes the center as a breakthrough solution to an existing problem.
Problem is there's no training center. So this is solved because now there's easily accessible training for companies in our area that have bought FANUC robots and for companies that might be interested, Mr. Mayor, in coming to this area that are going to use robotics.
According to officials, there are more than 2,000 FANUC robots operating within a 100-mile radius of the training center. Some are used by Arkansas companies like Multicraft Contractors and Pace Industries. Fayetteville Mayor Lionel Jordan says he cares about making sure residents can obtain a fulfilling career and a decent living wage.
That's why we continue to make strategic investments in economic development, why the city is crafting a workforce development plan, and why question six of our recently passed bond has an emphasis on job skill training. This city will be investing at least $1.5 billion in workforce training in the next few years.
Mayor Jordan says the city's economy is growing at the rate of a business a day. 39 new businesses have opened in the past month, and he says he wants to ensure current and future businesses have access to the skilled workforce they need to thrive.
The Northwest Arkansas Regional Robotics Center will be a pillar for our workforce development efforts in Federal. It's initiatives such as this that enable us to not simply hope our residents, our children are prepared for the jobs of the future. They are ensuring they are prepared.
Classes at the Northwest Arkansas Regional Robotics Training Center begin the week of June 24th. High school students may enroll in the training, but they will not be given their certificate until they earn their high school diploma or GED. More information is available at nwarobotics.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
According to the most recent estimates from the United States Census Bureau, between 2010 and 2018, cities in Benton County grew a lot. Bentonville's population increased by 45% to over 51,000 people. Rogers grew by 21% to over 67,500 residents. And then there are the smaller cities, Centerton, which saw an increase of 63% to over 15,000 people, or Cave Springs, where there were 1,700 residents in 2010, now nearly 5,000. The Benton County Sheriff's Office says more people in the county means more people end up at the detention center. As Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek tells us, a jail expansion could be in the not-so-distant future.
Benton County's jail is more than 20 years old. The facility was built in 1997. Detention Center Captain Jeremy Gwill says that's when the sheriff's office went from having a 63-bed jail at the courthouse to the 669 beds they have now.
When we're pushing 640, we're pretty crowded. That's just due to you have violent offenders, some inmates that have to be separated. So you put them in a cell that has two bunks in it. So that's where we lose some of that bed space.
And Major Robert Bursey says the population boom that's happening outside the jail's walls is happening inside them, too.
For the last 3 years, we've been averaging a 7% increase in our average jail population just due to the growth of the surrounding cities. I mean, since we're the detention center for Benton County, all the law enforcement agencies in the area, you know, they're getting bigger, they're getting busier, and so they're bringing more folks to us.
To keep the population at the jail under control, Gwill says they've been citing almost all nonviolent misdemeanors instead of booking them into the detention center.
Whenever we're at 660, we've gotten up to 670, we have to cite just to hold these people. So even if we were at 640, we would still probably be citing because we're just now getting those other guys off the floors that they're sleeping on.
Jails that don't have enough bed space turn to what are called plastic boats as makeshift beds used for sleeping on the floor. Gwill says they'd have to have a population of fewer than 600 to stop citing people out. And while that's not likely to happen, Major Bursey says the conversation about a facility expansion has only just begun.
A lot of the stuff we've just been talking about now is just trying to do some projections of what our growth is. What's it going to look like in 2 years? What's it going to look like in a year? And then even starting to look as far as 5 and 10 years down the road, because most of these projects, if you were to start an expansion project, you're looking at probably a 2 year, turnaround to get through planning, construction, everything before you even can even utilize it.
The sheriff's office is looking at several options, like modular inmate housing that's quicker and cheaper to build, but also much smaller. Captain Gwill says, on average, a modular pod holds about 50 inmates.
I feel like, personally, if we had one of those in place today, I could fill it up tomorrow.
Another option is to construct an additional pod at the existing facility, which would be considerably more expensive. But Gwill says it would allow the sheriff's office to add a lot more beds that will be necessary to meet future needs.
I feel like if you're going to do this project, we need to plan for the future. And I would say probably 400 to 500 would be realistic if you're planning for the next 10, 12 years.
Major Bercy says right now the sheriff's office is in the information gathering phase before they consider going to the Benton County Quorum Court with any kind of proposal.
Right now, we're just basically gathering information, getting our data together, and, you know, looking at what options we have. And basically kind of just watching to see how Sheriff Helder's in the same boat. And he's going through the same process right now. We're kind of see how they're doing it and how they're looking at it to accommodate, since we're both experiencing similar growth and we're both very similar in size currently.
Tim Helder is the sheriff of Washington County. He's already gone to the Washington County Quorum Court with a proposal. The expansion is estimated to cost $38 million and would initially be funded by a half-cent sales tax. It would add another 600 beds to the existing 710. But the Quorum Court is yet to approve a special election on the matter. And from there, the funding for the expansion would be put in the hands of voters. Bercy says in Benton County, like in Washington County, the sheriff's office is trying to keep up with the needs of a continuously growing number of residents.
You've got to have the infrastructure to support the public safety needs that we have.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
And as for the Washington County Jail, the Quorum Court's Jail, Law Enforcement, and Courts Committee meets next week when the expansion proposal there is likely to be discussed further. You can catch up on our coverage of that plan by searching OzarksAtLarge.com.
Fayetteville Roots Festival presents Roots Food and Spirits Festival Saturday, August 24th at Pratt Place in Fayetteville. This culinary cornucopia will feature over 50 chefs participating in dozens of tasting events, spirit activations, competitions, workshops, cookbook signings, and demonstrations, plus three headlining musical performances. Tickets and information available at therootsfest.org. Washington Regional is committed to improving the health of Northwest Arkansas through compassionate, quality care, prevention, and wellness education. As the region's only not-for-profit, community-owned, and locally governed medical system, Washington Regional provides primary care and specialty clinics throughout Northwest Arkansas. WRegional.com for more.
This is a Friday edition of Ozarks at Large. That means it's time to connect with Michael Tilley of Talk Business and Politics. He is in his office in Fort Smith. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Well, good to be here. It was either here or back at the Walmart shareholders meeting, and Kyle won on that one.
Well, let's talk about something that did happen in Fort Smith this week. It was something called a data walk. We had a preview on our show. What happened at this data walk, and what was the idea behind it?
Sebastian County is one of six counties selected out of 3,000 U.S. counties, and the Urban Institute comes in. It's funded by the Walton Family Foundation project that studies food insecurity around the country. So the Urban Institute came in with their folks. They work for the Fort Smith, with the Fort Smith-based Antioch for Youth and Family. And really, what they wanted to do, or what they did, was sit down with business and civic leaders and say, look, here's your issue based on the data, not based on what somebody thinks, but based on the data. Here's where the problems are around town, looking at zip codes and that kind of thing. And so how are you going to address it? You know, it's basically saying, here's the problem, it's real, and here's where it is. And so then that begins a collaborative effort to try to fix it. And quickly, what they found was that, for example, the median income in Arkansas, the most recent year of 2017, was $42,000. It was $40,000 in Sebastian County. Sebastian County had an 18.7% poverty rate compared to 18.1% statewide. The numbers also show that in Sebastian County, which has a little over 100,000, like 105,000 people, I think, that 20,000, almost 21,000 people are food insecure. And unfortunately, that number jumps to 1 in 4 when just looking at children. You know, one of the things that the Urban Institute pointed out was that even though the cost of living is low in the Fort Smith metro area in Sebastian County, housing and transportation costs continue to be high enough that for anyone, you know, if you're making minimum wage, you can't afford housing and transportation. You know, they showed that someone making $9.25 an hour would have to work 44 hours a week year round just to afford a one bedroom home. Unless there's a way to break that cycle, and that's what they're working toward, that rate of poverty will not only stay at that level, but it will continue to grow. So we'll see. You know, this is going to be an ongoing project. We'll see what kind of collaboration comes out of this.
Fort Smith and our entire region is a little less spicy now because Linda Siebold, who was someone who has been part of the Fort Smith journalism and entertainment scene for decades, died this week. I know that she was very important to you. Tell me about Linda.
Well, she spicy was the perfect term. She was a newsroom mother back for many of us, and I said that in the quote in our story. So it was 1992 when I first worked in the newsroom. It was at the Times Record, and you know, she just, it was pretty stressful for someone who'd never worked. It was at that time, it was a pretty large newsroom. You know, if you weren't used to the deadlines and that pace, you know, it'd be pretty overwhelming. But she fed us, those of us who were old enough, she provided us adult beverages and some parties a few times. And what I learned from her was really about the way that she interviewed folks, the way that she treated everybody, the way she handled difficult issues. And she wasn't the only one that I learned these things from, but she was definitely a big influence. And the other thing that I really learned was that you can have fun in a newsroom. There's no reason for it to be serious. And she kept it fun, was always joking, and was always having us, hey, try this. And, you know, and it would have some level of, you know, hot sauce that would just set your hair on fire.
Right.
And then she left the newspaper and went on and found Entertainment Fort Smith.
Well, and one thing about Linda, and I didn't know her until she and Lynn Wasson had co-founded Entertainment Fort Smith magazine, but she was a champion. She encouraged people, be it young journalists or people trying to do something with the Riverfront Blues Festival or anything in Fort Smith or the Arkansas River Valley. I think it's safe to say a lot of things got better in our region because of Linda.
When I was laid off from the newspaper, of course, she had already left. And when I started the CityWire, she was one of the first, if not first person that I heard from outside, you know, the little business that called and encouraged, you can do this, you know, the city. You know, she was so encouraging. And that was helpful in a time when, frankly, many people were telling me it wasn't going to work.
Finally, one other item from Fort Smith this week, building permits came in and building activity was down?
Yeah, unfortunately, for the first 5 months of the year, building permit values in Fort Smith, Greenwood, and Van Buren are down more than 37%. That's a pretty big hickey. And then the total, a little over $65 million compared to $103.3 million for the same period in 2018. Fort Smith, unfortunately, is a big part of that. Their building permit values are down almost 35% for the first 5 months of the year. Van Buren, their permits are down almost 59% for the first 5 months of the year. So, you know, building activity is slow. Now, building activity may pick up in the back half of the year, not for good reasons, but because, you know, I think there are anywhere between 500 and 1,000 homes and businesses have been damaged from the flood. And so we'll have to see how much permit activity there is in that to recover. But, you know, those will help boost the numbers, but those really aren't, that's not the way you want to boost building permit numbers in an area.
No, it's not. And I want to bring up one other thing that happened this week that's going to be odd when it takes over. And that is the Arkansas Athletic Association reclassified what schools will be in what conferences beginning in 2020. And because of the way it broke down this time, Fort Smith Northside will be in a different conference than Fort Smith Southside. Have you heard any conversation about this?
Well, yeah, the primary conversation is surely we'll still have a Northside-Southside game at the end of the year. You know, in football, I have not heard anyone that's happy about it. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's Northside will be in the same conference beginning in 2020 with Bentonville and all the Northwest Arkansas schools. Northside goes into the Central Arkansas with Bryant, Cabot, Conway, some Little Rock schools. Southside goes into the Northwest Arkansas.
The only positive out of that is that I've got two daughters at Southside, and of course, one's graduated and moved on. The other one will be a senior when this conference shift takes place. Is that they don't have to travel as far to go watch the games or to participate. But if you're at Southside, if you're at Northside, you still do. But people are just scratching their heads on this one.
All right. Michael Tilley is in Fort Smith. He is with Talk Business and Politics. You can read about these items and many others at talkbusiness.net. Stay dry this weekend, Michael.
I will. Thank you, sir.
And go Hogs.
That's Dr. Lonnie Smith on the organ, along with Jonathan Kreisberg on guitar, and I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz. We'll hear more from these artists, as well as music from Bill Evans, Rebecca Dumain, Denny Zeitland, Avishai Cohen, and more. Shades of Jazz, right here on KUAF 91.3 FM, listener-supported National Public Radio.
Tomorrow, the first monument trails in the state will open to the public at Hobbs State Park in Rogers. Suzanne Grobmeier, the executive director of the Arkansas Parks and Recreation Foundation, says monument trails have been developed in concert with Arkansas State Parks and are intended to be destination trails for tourists from both inside and outside Arkansas.
It's something that is worth you traveling to. Most of our state parks are a little bit off the beaten path, and therefore we want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of all users, whether they're families or college kids. They're all going to have a good time. There's diversity of trail and give you a good holistic experience no matter what level hiker or biker you are.
She says monument trails are always in state parks and have a bit of history connected to them. The trails at Hobbs will include, later this year, architectural vignettes with information about the history and landscape of the state park. For the opening tomorrow, there will be demonstrations of Orbea bikes, food, music, and rides led by experienced cyclists. Most of the trails are intended for bike or hike, though one at Hobbs, the Sawtooth Downhill, is just for the two-wheeled visitor.
That is the one part that I think is good to clarify, is that our downhill trails are bike-specific. Everything else is open to hikers. What is really special about monument trails is that each trail name has to do with an environmental, a historical, or a cultural element of the park. So we really let the park lean into that and get creative about the different elements. So, for instance, Karst Loop, which is the Lake Shore Loop, is named for the type of rock formation that you will be on, the karst, which is unique to that area. It's also, speaking of the Karst Loop, is about 4 miles of lakefront riding, which is really, really special.
The next monument trails to open will be at Mount Nebo State Park later this season. The events at Hobbs State Park in Rogers begin tomorrow morning at 9. Also tomorrow, at the Arkansas Air and Military Museum in Fayetteville, there will be an observation of this week's 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. Steve Gray, who has led observations in the region connected to the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, and annual events like the Veterans Day Parade and Memorial Day at the Fayetteville National Cemetery, came to the Carver Center for Public Radio yesterday to give us a bit more information about tomorrow's event.
Congressman Womack's going to be there, talk briefly, and then there's going to be a short synopsis of the invasion itself, the impact, the cost of lives and other things. And so it's not going to be that long, maybe 45 minutes or so. They traditionally, evidently, on Saturdays or on these particular Saturdays of the month at 8 o'clock in the morning, have a pancake breakfast. And then starting at noon till 1:30, they'll have a hot dog and hamburger kind of lunch. So my word is that if you want to get there and have something to eat, they're not going to have anything specific for the event, but if you get there before 1:30, you'll get a chance to have a nice bite of a hot dog or a hamburger, and then they'll also have soft drinks and water. So it sounds like a very small operation, but it's our way in the area of recognizing that particular day.
The official commemoration of the 75th anniversary of D-Day begins at tomorrow at the Arkansas Air and Military Museum in Fayetteville. It's free and open to the public, and Steve Gray will be back with us Sunday morning at 9 on Weekend Ozarks at Large for more about the D-Day invasion 75 years ago. It's the 7th day of June, a Friday, 2019. That means it is time to welcome Becca Martin Brown of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette to our studio. Welcome back.
Thank you. This is one of those things that you're either going to love or it's going to make your head spin around.
You're talking about me personally?
Yes, you personally.
Okay. Let's go.
And possibly some of our listeners.
Okay.
You know, I love the phrase, the road less traveled.
Yes.
Well, this one's a doozy. This is a story pitch that came in my email way too late for What's Up on Sunday.
Okay.
But it was too weird and cool to just ignore.
Fire away.
So I smiled to myself and I thought, hey, we still publish the Fayetteville Free Weekly online.
Mm-hmm. So deadline's not as problematic there.
And this is certainly something that will help keep Fayetteville weird.
Bring it on.
It's called Paranormal Cirque.
Cirque?
It's a circus? Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I got excited because it said paranormal. I thought maybe it was ghosts on unicycles or something. Well, no, it's not. It's a traveling circus company. What makes it paranormal is that their storylines are zombies and vampires. And there's a great photo at the on the Free Weekly cover of a guy coming up out of a coffin with flames.
Oh, yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, this is all good. They're from Sarasota, Florida, and this is the third show that's come out of this particular company. And they sit down in, like, mall parking lots and stuff.
Okay.
So this weekend, they're at the Arkansas-Oklahoma State Fairgrounds in Fort Smith for 3 days. Company came out of Italy. Performers from all over the world, Belarus and Mexico and Bulgaria and Italy. I said, I need to talk to someone. The PR person said, problem.
English, no one speaks it?
She said, I can send some questions to a nice lady who speaks some English and some Italian, and maybe she can get some answers from the founder of the circus who only speaks Italian. Okay, that'll be good. The acts are, you know, aerial acts and plate spinning and the Wheel of Death and all those things. In Fort Smith this weekend and in Springfield at Battlefield Mall next weekend. 7:30 today, 6:30 and 9:30 tomorrow, 5:30 and 8:30 on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's 4400 Midland Boulevard if you need an address. And tickets are $10 to $45. No children younger than 13.
Oh.
Will be admitted, and only patrons 17 and older with a photo ID can buy tickets.
Okay.
They're serious that this is a darker, more adult circus. Now, if you want something a little more of a known quantity.
Yes.
And something that's still uniquely Northwest Arkansas, Artisphere starts Monday. On the 13th, a show called Bella Gaia, Beautiful Earth.
It's a film.
Yeah. But it's also a whole bunch of other things, too, that go with it. Looking down at the Earth from an astronaut's point of view. Friday night is Trail Mix. So if you're looking for it on Sunday afternoon, you'll be confused. It's from 5:30 to 7:30 on Friday the 14th. And we have a map in this Sunday's What's Up that will tell you where the acts are, where the they're also having planets and kid stations and stuff because the theme is space. But so look for the map Sunday. It'll tell you everything you need to know. It's all free. The Artisphere film series starts the 15th, which is Saturday, with A Beautiful Planet in IMAX at Malco at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then there's other things all month. Fort Smith Little Theater opens One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest tonight. This is not a fun show.
No, but it's a good show.
But it's a good show. And performances continue this weekend and next. And then tomorrow, there's a garden party from 10 to 3 at Crystal Bridges. The Star Wars movie marathon continues at the Rogers Public Library at 2 with The Force Awakens. Skylark is in concert at 6:30 at Ozark Folkways in Winslow. That's free. And then on Sunday, Mountain Street Stage is National Park Radio at 2 o'clock at the Fayetteville Public Library. And the Star Wars Movie Marathon continues at the Rogers Public Library with The Last Jedi at 2 o'clock.
Very good. Becca Martin Brown is the features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
91.3 is supported by Pack Rat Outdoor Center in Fayetteville, dedicated to environmental responsibility and serving Northwest Arkansas since 1973. Packrat offers clothing and footwear for urban and backcountry adventures, including camping, climbing, paddling, backpacking, and traveling. 521-6340, packratoc.com, or Facebook for more. Additional support comes from Malco Cinemas and Grills, located in Rogers, Springdale, Fort Smith, and the Razorback Cinema Grill and IMAX in Fayetteville. Malco Theater is offering a variety of special showings, including the Saturday Metropolitan Opera in HD, rock concerts and music events, special live screenings, and more. Tickets and event schedule online at malco.com.
With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Katie Henriksen, who is the host of Note with Katie Henriksen. You can hear that every Sunday through Thursday night at 8, right here on 91.3. And you can hear it every Sunday through Thursday morning at 9 on KUAF2, our 24-hour-a-day classical music station. Katie, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
All right. Summer. Summer is supposed to be the time when you're in the hammock and nothing is really happening. But we know that in your world, that is not the case.
No. With Artisphere coming into Northwest Arkansas, it always ramps up. I mean, Artisphere doesn't, it changes when it happens. But
right.
But they're coming in, and there's actually events starting as early as June 10th. The Walton Arts Center puts on the Arts and Nature Festival. So if you wanted to like find out about all their events, you could go to waltonartscenter.org/artisphere. Because the kickoff for me, though, is honestly being able to do the live broadcast from the Great Hall of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art with Mozart in the museum. It's such a fun time, and I like to say it's like my chance to be a play-by-play sportscaster, because yeah. I'm a classical music host, and I get to bring that concert straight to you. This year, one of their performances will be Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik, which I don't know about for you, Kyle, but it's like one of the biggest earworms ever.
Well, I would say it's arguably one of the four or five most recognizable classical pieces across the board, right?
Right. And yeah. I just say it and I get it stuck in my head.
I've got it now. Thank you.
And you probably some of you guys now have it stuck in your
yep.
head. But it's a great piece of music.
Right.
It's actually, it was written in 1787 while Mozart was writing Don Giovanni, his opera. And it actually, what's interesting, it's become known as Eine kleine Nachtmusik, or small night music. It's a serenade. Basically, researchers say that he was just writing Eine kleine Nachtmusik in his own personal records to keep track of what he was working on. So he was just writing, writing a little serenade. But now we all know it as Eine kleine Nachtmusik.
Yes, so. We do. Yes.
So anyway, I don't know what recording yet, but I definitely plan to play Eine kleine Nachtmusik in the Sunday Symphony edition of Note coming up on Sunday. I'm just thrilled to be hosting the Mozart in the Museum, which is Thursday, June 20th from 8 to 10 p.m. The next day, actually, I am hard at work on a Trillium Salon Series block party. We've never done a block party before. And Trillium, actually, which is my concept of a pop-up intimate concert series, actually launched with members of Artisphere Festival Orchestra back in 2016. And I'm collaborating again this year with those members of the Artisphere Festival Orchestra, Carl Larson, who actually co-hosts the live broadcast with me. He's a violist. He's helped me year after year in putting these together. So he's putting together Artisphere musicians. This year, we are doing the block party. So we have the Amplify Tiny House. There's a stretch of South 7th Street in South Fayetteville. There's this house that looks like an amp, and it was built through the Tiny House Nation, and it's called the Tiny Amplified House. That's going to be our stage.
If you've ever driven by it, you know what Katie's talking about.
It's like kind of, I mean, it's just really right off MLK Boulevard. Asha Mavlana, she has that Amplified Tiny House, and she's organizing this with me. We'll have performances from Artists for Orchestra on that stage. Also, Craig Colarusso, who is a local sound artist, he will be doing bowed guitar there on that stage. And then it's a block party, which, you know, we're shutting down the block and we're spanning it down to the Spring Shop Studios, which is a place where local artists have their studio. And Octavio Logo has painted a mural that you may recognize. Mm-hmm. Very, very colorful mural featuring MLK. And I believe Malcolm X is on there. And it's a whole evening of festivities from 6 to 10 on the 21st.
So that's a Friday. And Amos Cochran.
Yes. So Amos Cochran, who was collaborated with me on Trilliums, he was commissioned by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art to write a soundscape to go along with their new color field exhibit that just opened. And so Amos, actually, I interviewed him earlier this week. He was on my show
But he actually is performing during the garden party tomorrow, Saturday. He's performing from 10 to 3 at the Skyscape. But if you want to listen to that full interview, you can go to KUF.com and then interviews there.
All right. Of Note with Katie Hendrickson can be heard every Sunday through Thursday night at 8 p.m. here on 91.3, every Sunday through Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on KUAF2, our 24-hour classical music station. Mozart in the Museum live on KUAF with Katie and Carl. That will be Thursday, June 20th, the Trillium Block Party, Friday, June 21st. Is that everything? Okay.
I think so. There's so much to keep track of.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Most low-wage workers have no choice but to spend half or more of their pay on housing, but miss just one payment.
When we woke up that morning, they knocked on the door and said, just get some clothes on and leave.
Unmasking America's eviction crisis on the next On the Media from WNYC.
On the Media, Sunday morning at 11 on 91.3. We first heard from the band Dawson Hollow last year when they stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio to introduce us to their music. Five-piece band from Lebanon, Missouri area features siblings Ben, Aaron, Rachel, Kyle, and John Link. This weekend, the band will perform at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville as part of the museum's Summer Forest Concert Series. Earlier this year, the band again came by the Furman Garner Performance Studio to play for Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis, and they started with the song Take Me There.
Somewhere you can let your head down low. No place that I'd rather be than when you're here beside me. Oh, take me there, take me there. Person, a place, somewhere in between. Maybe it's all above, but truly I think it's who you love. la 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 la
Thank you.
Nightmares again and again. Cold, cold body, all broke down with the lust for this old town I know. Such a lonely sight. Color red inside our veins. He's driving us to the edge and the other side of insane. A darkened cloud rains on me. Clothes are wet, but I can't see you there in the lightning mist. Heart of stone, petrifies me with your smile. You are my summer snow. Oh, 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 oh. I keep waking from the same dream. Sweaty clothes all alone and there's red on my teeth. I blink my eyes, darkness stays, frozen rain, and all these days I know. Such a lonely sight. Love runs from me every time. Your heart is stone.
Petrifies me with your smile. You
Ben, Aaron, Rachel, Kyle, and John Link performing as Dawson Hollow inside the Firmingar Performance Studio earlier this year. That last track, Summer Snow. Before that, they performed Take Me There and Silver Moon. They performed in the studio for Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis. They'll perform tomorrow evening at Crystal Bridges as part of the museum's Forest Concert Series. Tickets, $12 or $10 for members of the museum. Youth, get in free. The concert begins at 7 with the Lauren McClinton Band opening the show. You can find out more about the band at DawsonHollow.com.
Walton Arts Center presents the 10th annual Artisphere, Arkansas's Arts and Nature Festival, June 10th through the 29th. This year, featuring performances inspired by the wonders of the universe and the beauty of our home planet, including the Artisphere Festival Orchestra, a space-themed film series, and more. Tickets and event lineup at artispherefestival.org. The McMichael Lecture Series welcomes Dr. Catherine Meeks as she presents Seeking Racial Healing in the 21st Century this Saturday at 7 p.m. and Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled Sunday morning at 10 at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville. More information is available at stpaulsfay.org.
Contributors to this Friday edition of Ozarks at Large included Antoinette Grajeda, Zuzanna Sitek, and Timothy Dennis. Timothy Dennis also mastered our show today. Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics dropped by. We thank him for that, as well as Becca Martin Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Becca will be back with us Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large. This is a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Decatur. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Like I just mentioned, we'll be back with you Sunday morning at 9 for Weekend Ozarks at Large, and back with daily editions of Ozarks at Large beginning on Monday, noon and 7 p.m. Thanks so much for listening. You can learn more about us at ozarksatlarge.com.